Carolina, and this recording is from one of our church services. For more information, visit our website at churchofphiladelphia.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the message.
His word describes his faithfulness as being great. I don't know about you, but that means something to me. Great is thy faithfulness. The song even talked about he made a way. When there was no way to be made, when there was no way to be seen, God made a way. I don't know about you, but who wouldn't serve a God like this? What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful God. Wonderful God. I thank God. It's just something about my song, man. To the only God. Oh, I bless his wonderful name, to the only God in heaven. The Potter, the Creator. To the Potter, the Creator. Be all glory, be all honor, be all blessings, be all dominion and power forever.
Thank you, Lord.
And
forever.
To him that sits on the throne, see, I don't know what he means to you, but to him that sits on the throne, worthy is the Lamb. We are singing unto him, because this is unto him.
Forever.
To the only, to the only, to the only, to the only, to the only. Come on.
To the only.
Let the praises
God
of this song be on the fruit of your lips.
Come on.
To the only one that there is.
The only one.
We're describing, we're claiming. Other God. I understand that there are other gods, but there's only one that's true. There is only one that's faithful. There is only one that's living.
Forever.
We call him the Father. We call him the Creator. Matter of fact, he is forever. He's called the Ancient of Days. He's the God that was, is, and is to come. Exists outside of time as well as inside of time, all at the same time. A God that's omnipresent. He exists everywhere at the same time.
There is
to the Holy One of Israel, to the Holy One of Israel,
the Creator.
Talking about the Ancient of Days.
Forever. Yeah.
Forever he's worthy to be magnified. Forever he's worthy to be glorified. Forever he's worthy to be exalted and to be extolled, to be lifted up
to the only God.
worthy, 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 worthy. Understand that the soul consists of your intellect, meaning your mind, your heart, your emotions, and your will, the actions, things that you tend to carry out and do. Amen. And so we understand in Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, that when God breathed his breath into us, that man became a living soul. This is where life began to move inside of you, where we begin to have activity of our mind, of our heart, of our will, the activity of our limbs, understanding, perspectives, knowledge, wisdom, able to cultivate relationships. Because God breathed his breath. And we are that of living souls, amen. So what we're going to be dealing with on today is called I'm Soul Restored. I want to make sure you understood what I'm saying. Can you put that? I'm soul restored.
Thank you, Lord.
I don't know about you, but there, some of us, we need to be restored down in the depths of our soul. And to move through my foundations, my preliminary, Job chapter 14, 17 says, my transgression is sealed up in the bag, and thou sewest up my iniquity. So your soul acts like a bag, holding all of the transgressions, all of the iniquities, all of the sins that we've committed. Now the body is the thing that carries it out. The body is what acts it out. But it's housed in the soul. Leviticus chapter number 17, verse number 11 says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I had given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Hence describing that the sins take place in the soul. Although the body carries them out, it takes place in the soul. Simply put, we understand that we sin by way of our thoughts, word, action, or deeds, denoting soul. So I want to make sure y'all understand sins take place in the soul, housed inside the soul. Your soul acts like a bag, and it's the facility up. Hence, when we go back to our series where we talked about suitcases, where we dealt with rejection, and God led us to start dealing with the soul, all these things are housed inside of the soul. And we see why it becomes so easy for different individuals to fall back into previous sins, because some of these things they have not been rid of. These things have not been cleansed out of their soul, or God has not delivered them in the depths of their soul. Now, when you think about deliverance, For example, when you see us here working at the altar, different things of that nature right there, because many people may not understand. Typically, in most traditional churches, you see people, they only want to lay hands on the person's head, thinking because I lay hands on this person's head, they about to just fall out. Well, when you have people who understand how to move in the realm of the spirit, when we're laying hands on your head, symbolically what we're doing is we're actually dealing with a portion of your soul that is the mental aspect where things may cause you to be bound in your mind. When you see us laying hands here on your chest, you know, if it's a woman praying for a woman and she's laying over her hand over her heart, she's dealing with your heart, another component of your soul. Right, those things that you may be bound in the realm of your emotions, emotionally speaking. Because think about it. When you think about a soul tie per se, right? We understand something like a soul tie can easily be attached to you or be tied to you. And see, most people were under the impression that soul ties, we get involved in soul ties because of fornication, by being sexually involved with somebody. Well, that's one way. But if you know anything about soul ties, the fact that you laughing and joking with somebody, that's an easy way to develop a soul tie. One of the other ways that we don't think about, getting into consistent arguments with someone, that's an easy way to develop a soul tie. Oh, y'all not gonna help me right there. And that's why we think we're in love with different people when reality is just full of lust, and it is because there is a soul tie that has developed. And now, when you see us laying hands here in the stomach region, we understand that here is where the spirit of the man is housed. And so we're dealing with something that you've been bound in the realm of your spirit by. Right? But everything is pointing back to the soul of the man, the soul of the woman, where these sins are housed. And it takes God going inside this particular bag, which your soul represents, to unzipping this thing and allowing God to go in and cleanse this thing, purge this thing, wash this thing with his blood. Amen. So as we deal with our foundational pieces, the meat of the text where we're going to is Psalms chapter number 23, a familiar passage of scripture, which says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. And this is where we take the title of the text, I'm Soul Restored. And I don't know about you, like we said, there are different things that we encounter that we deal with on a daily basis, definitely from the relationships that we are involved in, that has affected us in the realm of our soul. Where we need to be restored. Okay, so y'all let me know. This is gonna require some work. Amen. But it's all right. Amen. 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 So let's just go ahead and begin to jump right into this thing. Verse 1, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, being interpreted Jehovah, the self-existing God. He doesn't need any one of us to exist. He exists outside of us. Jehovah is my shepherd. Shepherd being interpreted Ra, Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. He says, I shall not want, because God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, when you think about shepherd in the Hebrew is talking about one that teaches, one that leads, one that guides, one that shepherds a flock. But it also is defined in the Hebrew as being one that you have a special relationship with or a special friend of. Remember, Abraham was considered the friend of God. I don't know about you. I think it's a good thing not just to be the son of God, the daughter of God, but I also want to be the friend of God. Right? So he said, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Because I have made God my shepherd, because I've made God my Lord. I know that God is going to lead me. God is going to guide me according to his perfect divine will, his purpose, his plans. Right? And because I'm allowing God to lead and guide me, I shall not want. Now, this shall not want in the Hebrew is talking about there should be no lacking. right? That I should not have need of anything. Now, if I were to ask you, is there anything that you need? Would you raise your hand? Now, the Bible lets me know that he knows exactly what you need before you even ask of it. It also lets me know that he will supply every last one of your needs according to his riches and glory through his son, Jesus Christ. So then, if he, in fact, is your shepherd, the scripture says, I shall not want. I shall not be lacking, and I shall have no need. If you indeed find yourself in a place of need where you are lacking, it denotes then he may not be your shepherd. You know, because we all have an idea of where we want to be in life, where we want to go in life. Do you know somebody and can you relate? Oh, yes, you do. Yes, you do, right? Think about it. A lot of us, we felt like we were going to go to, after we graduated high school, you know, if you graduated high school, I'm just saying. Some of us was like, well, hey, I'm going to go to college. And then some of us say, well, college is not for me. I'm possibly going to go and do a trade and all these different things. Some of you simply thought, well, hey, I'm just going to be a millionaire. The point I'm making is we all could see ourselves in certain places in life. But I want to know, is the place you saw yourself, is it the same place that God sees for you? And the thing is, we are willing to do whatever to get to this place that we see ourselves. Now, isn't this crazy? We're willing to do whatever to get to this place we see ourselves. Mind you, God sees you in a certain place. God sees you as a certain in a particular manner, right? But we are unwilling to do what it would take to see ourselves in the place that God sees us. That's kind of strange to me right there. That's kind of strange. The thing is, you're willing to do anything to get to the place where you see yourself, but we are unwilling to do what it takes to get to the place that God sees us. Are you following what I'm saying? We have the drive, we have the ambition, we're goal oriented when it comes to what we desire for ourselves, but when it comes to what God desires for us, it's like we have no ambition, we have no motivation, we have no inspiration. We're just, because the reality, what God wants for you is not what you want for yourself. So indeed, if there is lack or if there is need in your life, is it safe to say that he's not your shepherd? You indeed are leading yourselves and not being led by God. And the thing is, if you're leading yourself, then it's simply put, it's safe to say that you are being driven by your flesh or driven by your emotions. When we say emotions, we say it's a key component of the soul. Because it's in your soul, you think, this is what I want. This is what I need. And how many times have your heart tricked you? Because the Bible lets us know your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. How many times has your heart deceived you? This is the right thing for me. Because see, there are a lot of people who make decisions based upon what they feel. Hence the term, I feel this is what I should be doing. I feel this is the right choice for me. Well, y'all not going to talk back to me right there, right? Because there are a lot of people, you just driven by your emotions. Your soulless rim is what's driving you. Instead of you being led by the Holy Ghost, you're driven either by your flesh or driven by your emotions. I ain't going to get no help right there. But for those of us who have been led by Jehovah, we understand he's our shepherd and we must depend on him. We can't make it without him. We are nothing without him. We understand we need him. I can't make a decision without him. In all things, I acknowledge him that he will direct my paths. Lord have mercy. I didn't know it was going to be this hard right here. The Lord is my shepherd. But this goes to show you just how much restoration needs to take place in your soul. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We quick. Always falling into these different trends and fads and different things of this nature. This is what everybody's doing, so this must be what I should be doing. This is the most popular thing right here, so let me do it as well, because I don't want to be left out. If everybody is doing, then it must be right. Have you been there? Have you heard and have you seen it? Have you noticed that? If everyone's doing it, then it must be right. The majority does not always mean that it's the right thing. Simply put, when we talk about being a Christian, living as a believer, a Christian, because we understand nowadays it's popular to be a Christian, but I'm talking about being a Christian, a follower of Christ. If it was easy, then everybody would be doing it. We ain't gonna get no help right there. I say, if it was easy to be a Christian, then everybody would be doing it. Like we talked about last Sunday, he measures your love according to your obedience. All right? He measures your love according to your submission. So this life is all about obedience. This life is about submission. It's not an easy thing to just submit and obey. Especially when you think you are right all the time. If I'm right, then there is no need for me to submit. If I'm right, then there is no need for me to obey. People should be obeying me. People should be submitting to me because I'm right. I know it. You're not going to help. You're not going to tell the truth. You're so full of yourself. Yeah, you're so full of yourself. Yes, yes, you are. You're not going to tell the truth. You swear you know it, everything. Consider you. That's why folk be always calling you a know-it-all. Because you prove to them that you believe you know everything. You're never wrong. What a deception. But the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want, right? He says he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. See, a lot of us have an issue with the second word, maketh. Right there. We hate when somebody tries to make us do something. Because I am an adult. I'm grown. I'm 20 plus 5. You don't tell me what to do. But it says he maketh me. Oh yeah, he makes you. He's the one that's in control. I know you thought you was in control, but no, he's proven that he's in control. And every now and then he needs to make you lie down. Do you understand? You lying down, taking that position, it is a position of submission. Think about it. Dogs in the animal kingdom, per se. The dominating animal, lion, dog, whatever the case may be, is standing over the weaker animal. And the weaker animal lies on his back to show, hey, I'm in a posture of I'm submitting to you. Listen, you got it. You own it. It's your world. Do whatever you want to do. You understand? And some of us, we hate the fact that God is in control. Because the reality, the real struggle you deal with, it is that of giving up control. And I ask you the question, why are you so afraid to give up control? And you're in deception if you ever thought you've been in control. Oh, see, nobody wants to talk about that. It's a deception if you ever thought you've been in control. Because God sits back on his throne with his foot on the earth as his footstool, and he allows you to operate in free choice. You have misconstrued that thinking that you are in control. What a deception. You're not in control. Do you understand? God has got this thing purpose that I can work around your free will. Whatever choice you make, good or bad, I have got this thing fixed in such a way that I'm still going to get the glory. Every mistake you make, guess what? I'm still gonna get the glory. When you do it right, I'm still gonna get the glory. I got it set up in that particular manner. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And the reality is some of y'all need to lie down. Because beyond you just needing restoration in your soul, you need to lie down because the fact that you just tired. Now, isn't that crazy? Someone can recognize that you are exhausted better than you can recognize about yourself. Someone can recognize that you need to rest. You need a break. You need to recuperate. You need to be rejuvenated. You need to be replenished. Take a break. Right? Some of us, it's just embedded in us to just keep going and on and on and on. You like the Energizer Bunny, just keep on going, keep on going. You don't know how to take a break. Burnout is a real threat for you. It's a real possibility for you. That's why some of us, we're so fed up with our jobs. Maybe you wouldn't be so fed up on the job if you brought him on the job. Oh, y'all not gonna help me right there. If you cause the atmosphere to become conducive for the Holy Spirit to rest about and rule on the job. Because if you understood anything, you are a carrier of his presence. Where you go, the presence of God should follow you. The presence of God should dwell with you and dwell in you. So I don't care what the atmosphere was before I got there. When I get here, the atmosphere must change. We not going to get help right there. He maketh me to lie down. And think about it. Some of us are exhausted in the relationships that we occupy. Exhausted in some of our homes. Nobody recognizes me. Nobody pays attention to me. You know, people take me for granted. Right there. I'm working something right there, right there, right there. Because the truth be told, you get tired of folk taking you for granted because you realize what you do, some of the stuff you do, guess what? The house would not stay afloat if I did not do what I was doing. And you can act like what I'm doing is so minimum, but the reality, if I stop being who I am, if I stop doing what it is that I'm doing, baby, the house would go under. So you can play these games and act like you don't want to acknowledge me. The reality is I'm tired of you trying to look over me and look over what it is that I do. He need to make you lie down. Oh, y'all not going to talk right there. See, because the reality, you and your frustration, you and your irritation about feeling overlooked, about to throw the whole household off. That's just real life. Because where you feel people should be acknowledging you, in like manner, the same people that you live with feel like you should be acknowledging them. What's the problem that we fail to acknowledge one another and appreciate people for who they are and appreciate you for what you're doing? Appreciate for what you bring to the table. I may not make the amount of money you make, but I appreciate what you bring to the table. I don't always have the best choices, but you know what? Some of my choices are good. Some of my ideas are good. Can you at least give me a little credit for that right there? The fact that I offer my assistance and offer my help, can you appreciate that right there, that I'm willing to help? Because see, there were some people, you know, there were some arrogant, prideful men, yes, I said that right there, who considered their homes to be their king or their palace. They talk about, I'm the king of this palace or king of this castle, and they feel like because they go to work, as soon as they come in the door, woman is supposed to serve them. Now, if that's how you roll, don't let me interrupt your flow. See, that's what I say for my household. Do not. See that right there. Whenever you see me do that, this is the sign for me and mama. Do not interrupt the flow. In other words, this is me, this is her. Don't you come between this. Don't you let nobody interrupt your flow. Now, if that's y'all understanding, if that's y'all agreement, then do you. I'm just saying in my household, it don't work like that. And I don't have a problem with that. My wife submits to me and I submit to her. Like the Bible says, submit yourselves one to another. But I understand who I'm married to. She's not that female who's going to come on and be like, just wait on me hand and foot. Especially when she work a job, a full-time job. I have enough sense not to be like, hey, go get this, do this, do that, and take care of the children. She didn't make the children by herself. Oh, see, I take pride in mine. I be getting a little funny around the house when she be telling my son, that's my baby. Oh, that your baby? When you created one by yourself? The last time I checked, you needed my help to create all three of them. Your baby. No, you, our baby. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, right? He leadeth me beside the still waters. He's trying to take you to a place of peace. Because what we find in our, most of you, if he is not your shepherd, then we understand you are lacking peace. wonder why there is so much confusion in your life, because he's not your shepherd. Wonder why there's so much turmoil, so much chaos, because he's not your shepherd. Now, we can say with lip service, the Lord is my shepherd, but your heart and your actions do not denote that he is your shepherd. He's the one leading you. He's the one guiding you. Because if so, he will lead you beside the still waters, denoting peace. You will have peace. To the man, to the woman who keep their mind stayed on him, he will keep them in perfect peace. See, if I'm a sheep, a part of his flock, my mind must stay consistently on him. I need to move when he moves. Flex when he flex, shift when he shift. Because if not, I run the risk of being left. Talking about my soul being restored, right? He says he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. Oprah can't restore your soul. Ayanna Van Zant can't restore your soul. Neither can Dr. Phil restore your soul. None of these self-help books can restore your soul. He restoreth my soul. The three components: he restores my mind, he restores my heart, and he restores my will. Right? Now, restore in the Hebrew is talking about what? To restore, to refresh something, to bring back to its original condition by repairing it or cleansing it. So remember, we showed you in the book of Leviticus, chapter number 17, verse number 11, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So Christ had to shed his blood so that the soul could be cleansed. Your soul must be cleansed with the blood. He restoreth my soul. So in other words, the fact that what God is saying is, in order for me to restore your soul, I'm trying to bring you back to your original state. When I first breathed breath into you, you became a living being. When my breath entered, there was no contamination. You have been contaminated by perverted and ill thoughts. We have been contaminated by perverted emotions and feelings. So he's saying, in order for your soul to be restored, it is going to be by repairing. So some of us need to be repaired. And then there are some of us that simply need to be cleansed. See, there is a term called damaged goods, where people have mishandled you. You got a couple of dents, bruises, and scars, tears, scrapes, and all these different things. Well, it's a good indication you need to be some repairs. And there were some of us, we just got residue on us. We got some dust on us. We got a little dirt on us, contaminated by filthy hands touching us. And you need to be cleansed. I don't know where you find yourself in the mix of that right there. Then there were just some of us, you need to be repaired and cleansed. Just that, you know what? I need to be repaired and cleansed, God. I'm damaged and dirty. I'm damaged and foul, God. Because, see, we always want to point to the fact that somebody mishandled or mistreated us when there were many days that you were the foul one. You were the dirty one. You were the one that was mishandling other people. So, you know what, God? Just to be on the safe side, God, maybe I need to be repaired and cleansed, God. It is me, God. But if I know anything, God, I need to be restored down in the depths of my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now, this word path in the Hebrew is talking about, think about a track. Any of you attract stars? Used to be track stars? Track runner? Now, y'all know I'm from Florida. Florida, we breed football players and track stars, and now we're up in our game when it comes to the hoop game, right? Now, in Florida, we do not consider you a track star. If you was on the field events, meaning you were throwing the heavy ball and throwing the discus, you are not a track star in Florida. You're not a track star. You are a track star with this right here. You're a track star. You understand? So he said, he restored my soul. He leaded me in the paths of right. This word path, it's been defined as track, circular track. So he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Do you understand? He's basically letting you understand that righteousness is a circular track. I'm going somewhere with that. Think about the essence for those of us who are married, right? And see, for those of us, if you've been ever been a part of a marriage here at COP, you know, an apostle talked about the wedding ring. He talks about it's unbreakable. It's a continuous circle. Think about the track. Righteousness is a continuous circle. If you have fallen into unrighteousness, if you have fallen into being wicked or evil, then guess what? You have came off the track. You have broken the path of righteousness, which has led you to a place of being unrighteousness. But he said, he leadeth me in the paths of unrighteousness. And see, what I found about some of y'all, you get so tired of the mundane, the same old, same old. I'm tired of seeing the same stuff on this track of righteousness. I want to see something else. You know, especially for those of y'all who get bored easily and quickly, you need a little spontaneity in your life. See, for you, this right here, this is tricky for you. Oh, y'all ain't gonna help me right there? That's why we always looking for something different, looking for something we think is new, something that is different for what I'm accustomed to seeing or accustomed to doing. I need difference in my life. God does not have an issue with difference. Remember, we told you, even when we talked about last Sunday, when God created you, he created you with identity, he created you with function, and he created you with difference. So God doesn't have an issue with difference. The reality is some of us, we don't know how to handle difference. No, think about it. Whenever, as much as we say we crave difference, when difference has come into your life, for example, when somebody came to the Church of Philadelphia and they didn't praise like you, see, that was difference. When they had a different mindset other than they interpreted things or perceived things different from you, see, that was difference. We didn't handle that well. Right? Don't let somebody come in. I remember when Prophetess Kiba came in and Prophetess Kiba was subject. And some of the women had issues with her because she came in and just submitted. See, that was different to us. We were not used to seeing a woman just come in and submit like that. Not just to apostle, but she submitted to those who had rule over her. Whereas the norm for you was seeing rebellious people. Oh, y'all ain't gonna talk to me right there. And so anytime you get away from your norm and you see something different, you can't handle it, you buck up against it. You have issues with it. Oh, y'all ain't, you have issues with the thing that's different from you. When you yourself could not walk in different, I'm talking about come out of rebellion and be submitted. Come out of rebellion and be obedient, which would have been difference in your life. See, we have an issue with someone who is walking out being different. He said, he restored my soul. He lead me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. His name is being interpreted in the Hebrew as his reputation or his fame or his glory. He is leading me in the path of righteousness around this continuous circle of righteousness because it is about him. See, this is where we get caught up. You keep thinking it's about you. It's not about you. It was such a small part in the larger scheme of what God is doing. That doesn't mean you don't matter. But you don't matter to the degree that you think you matter. Because what I know, anybody can be replaced. I wish Judas Iscariot could come help me preach this. And they say, okay, you know, we're about to cast lots. And come on, Matthias, step in the place of Judas right here, where he was supposed to not just be a disciple, but end up being an apostle. But because of his betrayal, come on, it made way for him to be replaced by Matthias. So some of us, we think it's all about you. Nobody can do it. No, there was somebody that can do it better. You hear what I said? I said, there was somebody that can do it better than you. But look at God. There is someone that can do it much, much better than you, but yet he still chose you. I'm talking about with your raggedy submission, with your raggedy obedience, your halfway telling the true self. Many days you so sick and tired of living righteous. Many days you so sick and tired of submitting to the lordship of Jesus Christ as well as those in the natural. But guess what? He still chose you. Don't let a situation take place in your life. Now you ain't hardly got no praise in your mouth. What used to be a high praise has now turned into a low praise. And if it's not a low praise, it's a no praise. But yet he still chose you. With your low praise, no praise, he still chose you. It's so easy for you to worship idols and worship false God, but yet he still chose you. If we are not a reminder of the people of Israel, where we consistently go whoring after other God, but I still chose you. Just like he told him in the book of Hosea, I'm going to betroth myself to you. I'm going to engage myself to you. I'm going to woo you back to me. With love and kindness have I drawn you to me. Yeah, when you acting funny, because guess what? God ain't never acting funny. When you acting funny, guess what? I'm going to still deal with you. When you don't want to be bothered by me, I'm going to still deal with you. When you don't want nothing to do with me, I'm going to still love on you, because guess what? I change not. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So this is about him. It is about the glory of the Lord being revealed. So for his name's sake, he's leading you in the path of righteousness. If you somehow come off of this circular track of righteousness, it is a good indication that you don't want to be right. That's it. That's my song. I just want to be right. Oh, I don't know about you. I just want to be right. I'm talking about when I mess it up intentionally. God, I repent. God, I just want to be right. God, you know what? I was in my flesh. I was in my emotions. God, I meant to do it like that, God, but I'm sorry. I repent. God, I just want to be right. When I unintentionally mess it up, I just want to be right, God. See, it used to be a cry in the church, and I'm not talking about when the song came out, but that used to be a cry of the heart of the people. I just want to be right, God. I just want to please you, God. I just want you to be pleased with me, God. Where is that cry gone? People are not concerned about being right anymore. Because now churches have allowed people to come and live any type of way. There is no checking the sin. We're going to talk about it. There is no checking of sin, because nowadays in churches, they don't call sin sin. It's an issue or it's a struggle, but the devil is a lie. Sin is exactly what the Bible declares that it is sin. And guess what? It is called missing the mark. Oh, yes. When you sin, you are missing the mark. When you sin, you are separating yourself from Jesus Christ. And so guess what? If a church is not going to deal with your sin, then you are wrong. Because guess what? That church is not telling you that you are separating yourself from him. It is also not telling you that you are missing the mark. Can I give y'all a piece of revelation God gave me about sin? See, a lot of times when we talk about sin, we tend to focus on the struggle aspect of sin. Like if somebody's struggling with fornication, I just can't seem to stop fornicating. Like, no matter how much my mind is made up, I just seem to just find myself in the bed and all these different things, right? We tend to just focus on the struggle aspect of sin, right? But the Bible lets us know that the sins of the Father. They're going to go to the third and fourth generation. What is he really saying? Understand, because see, some people interpret the scripture, okay, well, he's just talking about the father. I'm a woman. No, father is representative of the parent. Son is representative of the child. Right? So if you sin, meaning if you miss the mark, that sin now has legal right to enter into the third and fourth generation. Which could be your child. Because see, you don't know which generation your child has fell into. Oh, y'all not going to help me right here? That's why you struggling with some of the stuff you struggling with right now. Because your grandmama, because your granddaddy, they failed to hit the mark. They failed to tell the truth and say, guess what? I was a molester. Guess what? I was touching people. Guess what? I was molested. Guess what? I raped this person. Guess what? because they failed to hit the mark, this sin has found this way legally into your life. I don't care how much you pray and say, God, block it. I bind the devil. You cannot usurp the word. The word says, if that sin is not corrected, it legally has a right to enter the third and fourth generation. Oh, I ain't gonna get no help right there. And see, some of you might have a conversation with your grandma, with your granddaddy, with your mama, with your daddy, with your aunts and uncles. Why? Because legally, we have not corrected this thing. We are not hitting the mark. And so, remember we told you, wherever there is darkness, Satan has a legal right to rule. All the secrets that are being kept in the family, nobody wants to talk about these secrets that are being kept. A lot of these secrets are the sin that you operated in. A lot of these secrets are the sin that you operated in against your family that you don't want to talk about. All you got to do is start looking at the behavior and the actions of certain family members when they go around certain folks. Why? Before we entered into the house, you was all happy and jovial. But when you saw such and such, it's like your whole demeanor just went to the floor. It's like you start dealing with aggression and anger all of. Why? You're not going to talk to me right there. It has legal right. What am I saying? Since we talked about the soul, if this mark is missed, it has legal right to now enter the soul of an individual that's operating in the third or fourth generation. That's why you can have people in this day and age talking about, I was born gay. No, you ain't no born gay nothing. Shut up. He told you, all you got to do, your inward parts are going to reveal the truth about, check the pipe work, and the pipe work is going to tell you who you are. Now, we're not saying you can't feel this way because your feelings are a part of your soul. But if you want to know what the truth is, he said, you should know the truth in your inward parts. Oh, y'all not going to help me? We're talking about the soul. What has taken place in your soul because somebody else failed to hit the correct mark. Because somebody failed and they was walking in sin. Nobody repented. Nobody dealt with the truth about the sin that they operated in. It has given legal right to enter into the soul. This is why you better be led. This is why you better be led. Because I don't care how saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized you are. Because guess what? With all of that good stuff you just said, you still forgot to put at the end of that sentence, but I still got my flesh to deal with. Yes, I'm saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled, and fire baptized. But at the end of my sentence, I must keep myself as a reminder. I still have my flesh that I must wrestle with every day. If this flesh has not been crucified or died to itself, then guess what? I run the risk of entertaining this flesh. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Pride of life. It can become so easy to fall into one of these snares or these traps right here. And if I fail to deal with it, my sin has caused me to miss a mark, which now gives legal right for the enemy to now access the third and fourth generation soul of the individual. You can pray all day you want to. Bind the enemy, God. I bind generation of blood. You can bind every generation and bloodline curse you want to. But until the sin is confronted, until the sin is dealt with, until we correct it and hit the mark, then guess what? You can bind all day long. You can go and get you a prayer partner and bind. You can go and get the chief apostle and bind. And guess what? It's going to fall short of the word. He restoreth my soul. From all the sins that have taken place on the inside of your soul, some willingly you have committed on your own, but there were some that you're dealing with because there was a person who was not considering you at this particular time. An individual that was not mindful of you. Or dare I say, a person who just did not care. Oh, some of you can relate to that because some of you were reckless individuals. Yes, you were. But it took Jesus saving you to break that reckless behavior in your life. I'm talking about where you would just impulsively do things. Oh, yeah, I'm talking to you, you impulsive individual, where you would just make impulsive decisions. You didn't think about the consequences of you doing what you was doing. Matter of fact, consequences were not even in your vocabulary. If you thought it was going to please you, you would entertain it. Oh, I said if you thought it was going to please you, you would entertain it. If you thought it would please you, you'd entertain it. And some of you went beyond just entertaining it to you would actually do it and perform it. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he restoring your soul for his name's sake, for his glory. Yeah, that needs to be a healing. Come on, what's the lady's name? I need a healing for my soul. Kelly Price, come on, Kelly, help me preach this thing. You need a healing for your soul. Why? It's for his glory. His glory cannot manifest in your life until you are delivered, till you are healed, till you are restored in the depths of your soul. Now, I don't know what component of your soul you need to be restored in. For some of you, it's your mind. Mind stay all over the place. Stay scattered. Stay undecided. Stay dealing with impulsiveness. Stay dealing with double-mindedness and not having a sound mind. Well, then you need to be restored in your soul. Emotional people. And see, people are trying to trick you. Try to make you think they're so sensitive to God. You ain't weeping about God in the least. You ain't moved by God. God ain't stirring nothing up in your heart. Life has got you emotional. See, folks, not going to talk about that. When life has you emotional, decisions that you have made and decisions that other people have made for you has you emotional. Think about it. Like we said, he maketh denotes he's in control. Some of us are emotional about decisions God has made for us. God, you told me this is my spouse, but why is my spouse such a hellion? Because guess what? I didn't call you to be married to make you happy. I called you to be married to make you holy. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I want to see myself in your marriage. I want to hear myself in your communication. I want to see myself in your intimate touch. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. That's why this ain't about you being happy. This is about you being holy, separate and apart, demonstrating the love of God. Some of us are emotional about who God chose for us. Emotional about, see, I used to be emotional when God told me to leave Florida to come. What? It don't get no better than the FLA, Jesus. This slow. Now, mind you, I don't come from no big city, but because I had easy access to Orlando and Tampa, just like, didn't make Charlotte look like. But I had the privilege of watching Charlotte grow, and I said, this is just. I said, when I got here, I said, Lord, I know I'm in the real South, the dirty South. When I got here, oh, no, they say, I know now location-wise, Florida's in the South. But if you understand the terminology, they say the South stops with Georgia. You better know your history. So the South stops with Georgia. We're a different type of people in Florida. Now, mind you, I knew I was in the real South when I got here way back in 99. When I saw people walking around with cut off short and barefoot, I was like, this is not barefoot front yard. This is barefoot like grocery store type stuff. You're looking like, this is the norm? Like, and see, why that thing bothered me because, see, there's a term that we have down in Florida called dirty feet. Right? You understand what I'm saying? So I don't know where that term come from. Uh-oh, okay, tall hip. That's for all y'all tall hip fans right there. Wow. So imagine you walking in the grocery store and you walking behind somebody that has no shoes on and all you see is just the black. You looking like,
what the world? So it reminded me of this term in Florida, like the dirty feet. In Florida, that term simply means that's somebody, nah, you can't do that. That's real foul. That's real foul right there. That's, oh, that is real foul. They'll do anything with anybody. That is that type of foul right there. I can't, no. That ain't even no midnight stuff. Oh, no. I can't. You understand? If I had a thought about, you know what I'm saying? Like me and Pastor Ivan, homeboys, and I'm like, yo, hey man, I might just hook up because it's easy. I'm going to lose my reputation for even having that thought. He's going to stop being my homeboy. He ain't ever talking to me again for the fact that I considered that. See, that's how wild that is down there in Florida. No. Right? So, understand, I was upset when God told me to come here. I don't know anybody here, except Apostle, and what I like, he does not like. I'm into sports. He want to read all the time. Get out of here, man. I don't want to read every day. I'm not saying reading is a bad thing. I understand readers are leaders, leaders are readers. At that time, I was 20 years old. I don't want to read. You understand? Like, I'm interested in other things. I'm just like, okay. I was saved, had the Holy Ghost, but I didn't know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. So many days my flesh would be in control. So I would be in the church looking like, ooh, who is in the church? Right? Who is in the church? No, there were many days. Different ones, no. There were many days certain people came into church I was very interested in. I had a type, right? And I remember he would be like, oh, he'd be like, daughter, I see somebody spitting on you. I see somebody spitting on you, daughter. I bind it right now. And then I just look out the corner of my eye to the side like, oh, here come this rebuke, Jesus. Because I knew who he was talking about. He was talking about me. They piqued my interest. They piqued my curiosity. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, all right, right? But I hated it. See, some of us, we have an issue with some of the things God made you or God chose for you. You have an issue with it. Because think about it. We have oftentimes said, you know what? If God would give me one opportunity, you know, to go do something and not be judged for it, not get in trouble for it, all the things that you would do, right? The things that you would do if God gave you an opportunity to get away with it. See, we'll see exactly where your love is. Well, God, ain't no guessing with me, God. You give me 24 hours to do, I'm doing everything I can. When the tomorrow get him, I repent and I come back to loving you. But in these free 24 hours, God, oh, I'm about to just dance all around the city. I know I ain't by myself. Do I love him? I love him with everything give me. I love him with everything give me. But if he give me a free 24 hour pass, oh, whatever I can find to do. I ain't lying. I probably kill somebody just to do it. I robbed me a bank. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, hey, I'ma just do some all kind of stuff. I'ma be set that when I do come back to him, I'm set. Oh, y'all not gonna tell the truth? He said, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they come. Yea, do I walk through the valley denotes this thin gorge, tight place. I don't know about you, but there were some of us, we are in tight places right now. I can't afford to make the wrong decision. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? If I make the wrong decision, oh, it may take 10 years before this thing turn around and we find ourselves back afloat or back on top. I can't afford to make the wrong decision. See, it used to be a time where we was concerned about making the wrong decision. Now people have pressure to make a decision, make a decision, make a decision. Because the reality, guess what? If you choose not to make a decision, you indeed are making a decision. So the pressure of people telling you, well, make a decision. We just do that because we're trying to satisfy people. But you better understand, whatever decision you make, it is going to affect you and those that are connected to you. Right? So you can't afford to make it. He said, yea, do I walk. Yea, do I'm walking in this tight place of the shadow of death is interpreted in the Hebrew as this deep darkness. I'm in a tight place, but I'm also in a place where I really can't see what's going on around me. I can't see my hand in front of my face. I don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Matter of fact, I can't tell you what the next hour is going to hold. See, there were some of us, we're concerned about things like that. What is the next hour going to hold? You say, yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Understand, he is with you. And see, some people believe, okay, when you made a mistake that he left. No, he was still there because Jesus told him, he said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Now, I'm not saying he's real close to you, but he's there. For example, if my children happen to upset me, I'm probably in my room. Or I'm probably in a place where they upset me and I probably sent them to their room. But it does not mean I'm not there. I'm there. I'm just not in the close vicinity to them. But I'm there. If they were to call me, I am in earshot that I can hear them. If they were to come with the need, I still can provide and make a way because I am there. So he said, I wouldn't fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they come for me. Rod in the Hebrew is talking about fighting stick. Your fighting stick or your rod. So which is indicating that though you're in this dark, tight place, let me do the fighting. God said, let me do the fighting. How can you fight in an adequate manner if you cannot see? Because now, I mean, y'all, the truth be told, you ain't no super ninja. You ain't been trained to fight with your eyes closed or fight in darkness. You're not sensitive to your surroundings like that. Right? That's just being honest. So you better off letting God fight for you. Right? And then he said, thy rod and thy staff, they come from me. The staff denotes, okay, a walking stick. I am able to support you while you walk. Now remember, we also told you, somebody, think about somebody like a Moses or somebody like an Aaron, right? When they have the staff, right? In Hebraic culture, what they would do is they would carve testimonies on the staff. So imagine Moses when he had this staff, using this staff to support his weight, helping him walk. He also had right there in his vision, right there at eyesight, a testimony that was showing what God did. So the testimony reminds them of what God has done. Though I'm experiencing or going through what I'm going through right now, I have a present reminder that God is here. I have a present reminder that God can deliver me. Right? Think about the constant reminder that God was always reminding Moses and the children of Israel. I am the God that brought you up out of the land of Egypt, right? So he had a constant reminder of God, how God delivered him with a strong and mighty hand. He said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. So this is where you can take comfort, knowing that God desires to fight for you. And you also have a reminder of a testimony of God has consistently proven himself. Go to 5. He says, what? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Remember, we talked about when we were doing a series called Real Talk Table Talk, we found out that the table of God is God's altar. Right? God has prepared a table. Come to the altar. Come to the place where I prepared for you. He said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Right? And then he says, okay, what? He said, my head. So think about it. This head is denoting what? Your knowledge, your understanding, your perspectives, your thoughts, all these different things, right? You have anointed this thing. And when you understand being anointed in Hebrew culture, definitely when they was anointing kings and things, they would pour the whole horn of Hor on them. After they poured this whole, what we refer as a bottle of oil on them, they would take their hands and they would smear. In other words, I'm getting this oil past your skin.
I want this oil to get down in you. That there is no just washing this off. When you go and wash your face, the oil is still going to be present. And the fact is, they poured the oil, whether they start with the pouring of the oil, they poured the oil upon the head. Because I must anoint your thought process. I must anoint your perception. I must anoint your understanding. I must anoint your knowledge of who I am, right? He said, thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Give me Psalms 45, right? He said, understand, he is anointing me with his oil, right? And the latter part of the scripture, right? He has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. See, oh, you ought to get happy right there. This oil right here that God has anointed you, it has not always felt good, but you ought to be glad the fact that God anointed you. The fact that he anointed you is the proof that God chose you. No, it has not always been comfortable. It has not always been what you would have chosen for yourself. But guess what? He's saying, this is oil of gladness. Huh? You ought to be glad about it. Guess what? When I overlook other people, guess what? My eyes were upon you. And I'm letting you know that you're the apple of my eye. I choose you when you mess up. I choose you when you do it right. I'm going to choose you when you're not choosing me. I'm going to choose you when I'm your first choice. I'm going to choose you when I'm your 51st choice. But guess, because I have anointed you with the oil of gladness. What God understands, because I've anointed you with the oil of gladness, at some point in your life, something is going to click on the inside of you. And you're going to get happy about doing the will of God. You're going to get happy about submitting to God. You're going to get happy about obeying God. You're going to be glad that you are a Christ and a believer of God. Take me back.
He says, you taking me back? I said, you take me back. So he says, thou preparest the table before me in the presence of my enemy, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Welcome to the overflow. It starts with him being your shepherd. If he's your shepherd, he's saying, okay, I will have no want. I don't have want, because he's telling me, guess what? My cup runs, I have more than enough. Right? I have more than enough. He proves himself to be Shaddai, sufficient. He himself is not sufficient, but whatever he gives to me, it is sufficient. Remember? The fish and the loaves. To the untrained eye, this was not enough. But all Jesus did was lift it up and bless it. And it was sufficient to feed thousands. He says, my cup runneth over. I don't know about you, but I want my cup to runneth over. Runneth over with the blessings of God. Blessings from a Hebraic perspective are the words of God. See, oftentimes we think about materialistic things, new house, new car, new spouse, new children, all these, nah. Blessings are indeed the words that the Father spoke to and over the children, which would guide them. The words served as guideposts, signposts in their life. This is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to do. This is where you'll end up. I want my life to overflow with the blessings of God, because if God speaks to me, I can never be out of position. I can never be off track. I'll always be led. Our last verse says what? Surely goodness. Now he's talking about in the Hebrew goodness, good things. Because he understands some of y'all, you have to have some things. Now, I'm not telling you I don't want things and I don't like things, because I do. I like nice things. But my preference would always be his word first. But he's saying, surely goodness, good things, and mercy, kindness. See, some of you are not used to people being kind to you. Simply put, you know what's a real live thing? Something that's very, very real is people who are challenged in their physical looks. See, if you was voted, you know, not just most popular, but or not just voted to be the one that who's going to most succeed, but best looking, I wasn't voted best looking. So, I'm being honest with you, I was a challenge in my looks a little bit. He done helped me. Now that I'm an adult, now he's helped me. A whole lot, he's helped me a whole lot.
saying? You could be challenged in your look and folk would just be unkind to you simply because of how you look. You know it's true because guess what? If you do not look the way you think you should look or look the way you want or desire to look, notice how you are unkind to yourself. But you know somebody? And can you relate? How you beat yourself day in and day out because you broke your New Year's resolution. You told yourself, I'm going to lose 10 pounds, and you haven't lost nothing but 3 pounds, and you gained 5 pounds in the place of those 3 pounds, and you beat yourself up, and you're just so hard on yourself. The reality, you have been unkind to yourself. But he says, surely goodness, good things, and mercy, denoting kindness. So that's a real thing where you have to be kind to yourself. Set the example for other people. In other words, you show people how you want to be treated. One thing I can say I learned from a partner, don't let people give you anything. Don't let people handle you any kind of way. Now see, me, my response was always to fight. They're like, no, you ain't got to always fight. You're going to have to learn how to talk your way through some things. But still, don't let people just handle you any kind of way. Right? Same thing I'm saying. Give them an example of how you should be handled. Stop compromising. Stop settling. And see, a lot of times we do this because of the sake of somebody's company we want. You will put up, oh, not me. I don't love nobody other than God. My wife know it. She ain't ashamed. She ain't going to be offended with me saying what I say because she knows the truth. She knew that from day one. I don't love you more than I love God. You ain't got nothing that would change my love for God, make me love you more than I would love God. So I would not settle with if she's treating me in a harsh manner. I'm not going to take that. Now, I can talk to her and explain to her, listen, that we can't do this. One, because this is not bringing any glory to God. Then two, you're not loving me as you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Right? I want to help her be obedient to the word. So set the example of how you want people to treat you. You give them the example. Start being kind to yourself. And then guess what? Other people will start being kind to you. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's my desire. Beyond the good things and the kindness, I want to dwell in this house. If it's nothing more than being a doorkeeper, I want to be in his house. Because if I'm in his house, I'm in his presence. And if I'm in his presence, I can encounter or experience him. And if you understand, because some of us are blessed and we're driven by blessings. If you understand, if you get him, you get everything that comes in his hand. I'm driven by him. He says, seek my face, your face, Lord, what I seek. You got to go there. So I pray that you would allow the word to challenge you because we understand God sends truth to challenge us. First and foremost, he sends truth because he loves us. Secondly, because he wants to save us. And third, because he desires to set us free. Truth is not mere words, but truth is in fact a person by the name of Jesus Christ. So Jesus was sent because of the love of the Father. Jesus was sent because God wanted to save us, and Jesus was sent so God could free us. Let the truth challenge you to become a better man of God, woman of God, vessel of the Lord. Better mother, better father, better husband, better wife, better son, daughter, sister, brother. A better neighbor. Let the truth challenge you. So I pray, as the word say, that our ears will be dug out, that our ears are prepared to hear the word, that the word will not just ring in our ears, but the word will move down in our heart, that it will change us in our heart, which is a component of our soul, that our souls will be restored, God. That and soul, spirit, and body, God, we would truly, truly bear your image, God. Because we understand the total being represents the image of God. And God, we remind you of what you said. You are in the business, God, of restoring your image in the earth realm. So God, as you start with our soul, bring restoration to our minds, bring restoration to our hearts, and bring restoration to our will, God. That we will put you back in your proper place, God. I pray that you will sit on the thrones of our heart. That we will honor you for being who you are, God. And this we pray in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on, put your hands together for the word in Jesus' mighty name.